couldn't. And preaching there next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I live. But out at Rainsville, that's where we members at. And that'd been on me a long time. This morning, I was thankful the Lord just kind of put his touch on it. And it ain't no good unless he does. Y'all know that. Amen. It's kind of like them two old boys left church. One of them looked at the other and said, "What's that Holy Ghost?" And the other said, "I don't know what it is, but I sure know when it ain't." So that's pretty much the way it is when you go to the house of God. If he shows up, feels like a home. If he doesn't, it doesn't feel too much homey. All right, if you'll stand with us, please. 1 John chapter number 1. Trust me, this is all in the world I have, as far as I know, unless I jump the other three. But this seems to be the message. That which was born, verse 1. That which was born is in St. John this morning. This is Little John, some folks call it, 1 John. John's the oldest disciple, by the way, that lived, supposedly, as far as I know, he's the oldest, lived to be a natural death, maybe 90, 100 years of age. He did spend on that penal island of Patmos in Revelation 1, verse 9. He said, "On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit." Even in prison, he was in the Spirit. You ever seen a canary that wasn't singing in jail? Have you ever seen a canary in a cage that didn't sing? They'll sing. They'd rather be free, but they will sing. I got a little, Lane has a little chihuahua at the house. It sings. It whistles. It's the strangest little outfit I've ever seen in my life. It will bark at times when it gets riled up or another dog, but when it wants us, it whistles. I was upstairs this afternoon getting ready, and I heard her whistling all the way upstairs. I never heard a dog whistle before, but she stays in a little, I call it a penitentiary. She's in a little 8-foot pet cage that she's needful to be in there, by the way. But I never heard of a caged canary that wouldn't sing. And that's what John was on the Isle of Patmos. It wasn't just out there by himself. He was on a penal island. He was in penitentiary. That's what he was. Romans said, "We can't kill him. Well, let's put him out there and let him go away." But according to the Revelation, he came off that island, witnessed for kings and priests and princes. And, of course, we got his writings today. I don't understand all the Revelation, but I do understand there was a man that lived roughly 900 years of age. All the rest of them, Paul included, would die in their 30s and their 40s and would die horrible deaths. Acts 12, James had his head cut off, and then before the chapter's over with, the Lord busted him out of jail. Never did get him pardoned. He was on the lamb. Of course, he's in front of the lamb now, but he was on the lamb for all his life. And he busted him out of jail. And it's just strange how God's will for others are different than for someone else. And I quit trying to figure it out a long time ago. Romans 11:33 said his ways are above our ways and past finding out. And I've been around him 42 years, and I hadn't figured him out yet. I have not figured God out yet, but I still trust him. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, are the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now here's the reason the book of 1 John is written. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive. Look at that S-I-N. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, plural, S-I-N-S, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. One more verse. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There's actually two more verses. Thank you so much for standing with me. First John is a book that, as I told you, verse number 4, I believe it is, he said that's the reason he wrote it. And of course, if you'll go through the book of 1 John, you're going to find that there were many, that many said, well, we just don't believe, you know, you got your agnostics and your Gnostics, and they say that you cannot, you can't touch God. The Gnostic says you can't reach God. God's unreachable. Well, I do know that is not so. I do know he reached out to me. I do know I went to pick up a girl the day I got saved. I was nearly 25 years of age. Was not saved. I thought I was. I was a church member, preacher's kid, but I wasn't saved. I did not know the Lord. Did not know I didn't know the Lord. You can be lost and not know it, but you cannot be saved and not know it. It's an impossibility. But the fact being that I only went to church for sometimes just to please mother, and I'd only go once a week. I thought it's fanaticism to go any more than that. Well, that particular morning, I had made arrangements with a girl that went to the same church that Dad pastored and was going to go over there and pick her up and was going to leave. Of course, we wasn't coming back. Well, there were other things that took place that day. God came to me, and I got picked up. That's what I got. He struck my heart. I'm sitting right next to her. And he got a hold of me, and I took off to the altar, and I don't know what happened to her, or to this day, I don't know what happened to her, but I did not go with the intent of getting right with God. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:1, he that is often, and that's more than once, so I'm going to assume 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, he that is often reproved is suddenly destroyed that without remedy. If you stiffen your neck, harden your neck, he said you'll be destroyed in that without remedy. No preacher, pope, prophet, or priest or anybody else can change the hand of God. Samuel, or it was Daniel, who walks into Belshazzar, and he said, you've served the gods of gold, silver, wood, and iron, but he said, you failed to worship the God that's got your breath in his hand. And if he decides to pull his arm back, you're not going to be big enough to bring it back with more breath. So only thing that really belongs to you that you can say is yours is that breath you just exhaled, not the one you inhaled, but the one you exhale. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 20, said, glorify God your body, soul, and spirit, which is God. Didn't say anything about your soul there, but that triune body, soul, spirit, that's what man is. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, he said, I pray God will sanctify your body, soul, and spirit in Jesus Christ. Your triune, your arm bends in three predominant places. Your body bends in three predominant places. Your body, soul, spirit. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen is a three-part called H2O, called water. The tree's got wood, bark, and sap to it. Hell, there's a place, 2 Peter 2:4 said that the angels that sin, send them, cast them down to hell. The Greek word is Tartarus. And then you go into Matthew or Luke 16, verse 18. It's all over Matthew and Mark and Luke it is, the word Hades. Now that's another place of hell. And then there is Gehenna, the second death, the hell in Revelation 20, last two verses, talks about hell that nobody is in. It's a triune hell. Beast, dragon, false prophet, even the devil is a triune person. So God likes threes. And I found out that God likes trees also. The garden's full of them. As I told you this morning, I drive a charter bus now. I'm not on the school bus anymore. They got an air conditioner on that thing. I got one for me and one for the passengers. And that really sold me when I sat down on a charter bus. It's about 10 foot longer than a school bus. But I've been driving that thing, and I've seen a lot of things. Been in probably 15 or 16 states since July 11. And seen some I don't ever care to go back to. I don't like Texas. Hope ain't no Texans here. I don't like Texas worth a rip. Kansas, you can shoot a rifle in Kansas, and all you hit is a corn stalk. If it went to the other end, you wouldn't hit anything. Now, I don't mean pick on y'all, but bless their heart, they can't have it. They're born over there, and that's all they know. But I've seen a lot of places I don't care to see again, but I've seen things that I would never have seen had I not been on a charter bus, and it's just beautiful. God's not, you'll just go through I-40 going into Asheville, North Carolina, that sway and that 55 mile an hour going up, just constantly going up to the mountain of Asheville. And there ain't nobody cut a gorge like God can cut a gorge. And nobody can pull a mountain up like him. I've seen the sun set. I've seen it come up. We've driven all night, seen the sun come up, but headed out, you know, in the afternoons to see it set. And they're just, I just believe heaven's got big old waterfalls. I believe it's got big old trees in it. I believe my dog and my cats that I'd buried before, I think they're there. Yours probably are not, but I believe mine are. I'm just telling you that I'm looking. First Corinthians 2:9, even though it ain't even talking about, here we go. First John chapter, I may shoot rabbits. Just get a little meat if you can get it. So I know. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse, it's coming, so I'm not going to fight him. First Corinthians 2:9 said, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man. That's verse 9. But verse 10 said, yea, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, it is really not talking about heaven. It's talking about now, this bitter now, not the sweet by and by. And if y'all wouldn't make it so easy to preach, it wouldn't be just, you know, I'd be out of here in 5 minutes. But the fact being that I see things that I think, why would he change? All he's got to do, you know the Revelation 20, 21? Revelation 21, 1, 2, or 3, I believe it is. It said there'll be no more sea. You know what that means? It means no more separation. No more salt. No more remembrance of a curse. I have no clue when the salt got in the water. Nobody else knows. They can say they know, but they don't know. Now, when the waters covered the earth, and I believe it was a universal flood in Genesis 7:8, 7:8, and 9, that possibly the salt got added then to the water of the oceans. I don't really know. But I do know this, that God covered this thing. And if you emptied the water off of planet earth, now I know Revelation said it'd be destroyed. This heaven and earth that you see, it'll be destroyed. Man ain't going to do it. God will do it. If I have time, I'll tell you how he can do it real easily. But the fact is that if you take all the water off the planet Earth, the salt water, there's a place on the coast, the east coast of China called Challenger Deep that is 7 miles deep. We ain't got nothing sticking 7 miles up. Mount Everest is the closest thing. It's only 5 miles, and it's getting shorter every year, by the way. Every year it gets about an inch shorter. The moon gets about an inch and a half further away from us every year. And the moon's the top of the church. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, 36, 37. It's one, Lord, I ain't got time to get into that. All I know is, boy, hey, man, tell Joe to take off another Sunday. I'll come back. I'll pay him to go. I'll give him what y'all going to give me, you know, $400-500, I'm sure. Boy, y'all chuckle it up now, can't you? All I know is there's stuff that we will never see unless he empties the sea off the planet. And the fact is there'll be new heavens and new earth. God, there ain't no telling what he's got waiting for. They know the sequoias. I'd love to go to the Sequoia National Park. I'd like to go to Yosemite out there to the park, you know, in Washington. I'd love to see the sequoias are so large that water goes uphill. It drags water uphill. That's a paradox. Water don't go uphill. It's pulled uphill by them big trees. I just want to tell you, I think there's things up there that'll knock your eyeballs out of your head. I believe there's stuff up there that's going to make you so happy you made it. Amen. I believe there's stuff up there that I ain't never going to get to see down here or hear down here. Amen. I'm looking forward, and I promise you, the older I get, the more I want to get out of here. I don't want to go by myself, as I heard a preacher just say, but I'd love to carry everybody with me. Amen. So John said, I'll get back on it again. If they jump, I'm running them. That's all I can tell you. The fact is that John said, I want you joyful. And he said a couple things. He said about your faith, that your fellowship, and he said about the faith. He said, we've seen him. We beheld him with our own eyes, and we physically handled the word of life. Now, I've never seen him. First Peter 1 said that he said, never seen him, never laid eyes on him, but you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, folks said, well, I wonder this, I wonder that. When is the last time the Holy Ghost ripped through pathway and it just got ignorant in here? You couldn't fill up a thimble with sense because he done moved in. Did you ask him anything? Did you happen to remember to ask him about anything? Did you happen to remember to ask him about them seven thunders in Revelation that nobody knows what it is except them quacks on TV? They know, and you better not listen to that. Have you? When he comes by, do you ever think to ask him anything?
I ain't got enough sense to ask him anything. I'm all carried away with him. I'm overwhelmed by his presence. Lord Jesus, if he comes by, I mean, I've always said if he shows up, somebody will show out. Sure as a world. And when he comes by, I don't want to know nothing. I just want to be around him. And I'll tell you something else. Somebody said, well, we know each other in heaven. Well, I don't think you're going to get ignorant when you get there. I'm about as dumb as I'm going to get right now. When I get over there, I'm going to wise up. Y'all go see that thing like I see this thing. But we know each other in heaven. Peter knew what first is Matthew 18, Mount Transfiguration, maybe 17. Did they? Peter said after 2,000 years, he called out Moses and Elijah. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Who wrote? Wonder who told him. He didn't have any pictures. He certainly didn't have a phone, you know, to pull up the pictures of the Moses and Elijah. 2,000 years. And he knew exactly who they were. What my point is, when the Lord comes by, I look at my wife, she looks like everybody else's wife. I look at somebody, I love them, and all of a sudden I love everybody the same. Well, that didn't go good, did it? All I can tell you is, when you get there, a lot of things that are important now ain't going to be important there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We're all going to look 33. I don't think so. Lord, I'd try it, but I don't believe I could preach it all. Fellowship, faith, and them last three verses, I want to touch it. Let me read it. I'm going to do it right, do it justice, do it correctly. If we say we have no sin, S-I-N, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. If we confess our S-I-N-S, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Verse 8 says, if we say we have not sinned, what it's saying is, you ain't never sinned. If you study it out, it means you believe that you have never sinned a day in your life. That's what verse 8 means. And if you do not believe you've ever sinned, you will never, ever be saved. And if you believe you have never sinned, you just call God a liar. Because we all are totally depraved. What you are, listen real good, what you are is worse than what you'll ever do. You do bad things. Christians can do some bad things. Galatians chapter number 5, start about verse number 17. There's 19 works of the flesh. The first four is a sexual sin. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness. There is some real perversion in uncleanness and lasciviousness. Lasciviousness simply means to do something that's not right. The uncleanness goes into that homosexual area. And he's talking to the Galatian churches, not churches. So he said even Christians do this. But Galatians 5:25 said if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill. And that's not 25, that's 18. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you'll be happier if you walk in the Spirit. Doesn't mean you walk around with your hands in the air. You could. Doesn't mean that you'll have tears coming out of your eyes. You could. But it simply means you're walking. He said, if you walk in the light, as he is the light, he said, you'll not have occasion to stumble. Go to 1 John 2:1, 2:2, 2:3. He said, if you walk in light, you won't stumble. If you get in darkness, brother Warren Perry, if you get in darkness, get on your knees. It'll be hard to fall on your knees. When everything's dark around you, brother, these are dark days. I nearly went to Amos 7 and preached on when the preaching stops. The old boy told Amos, here we go. Hey, old boy told Amos to carry that stuff somewhere else. We don't want it. Read the last three verses of Amos 7. When you get home and you'll see every point that happened to them that when the gospel stops getting preached, people go into darkness. Why do you think the Indian people are not killing cows? Because they are in darkness. They'll let a cow walk through their house. I carried a group of Hindu women about 2 months ago up to Clyde, North Carolina, just a little ways this side of Asheville. Went back in the prettiest valley I've ever been in. Went up on a mountain it. I didn't know that bus was going to pull it. And when I came down, I didn't know if it was going to be able to get off of it without crashing. And when we got to the bottom, the leader walked up and said, Mr. Beck said, I just want you to know the ladies felt real secure when you was coming off the mountain. I thought they felt better than I did. That's all I had to say. I'm telling you, I was a praying all the way up and praying all the way down. Yeah. Those Hindus, they was just wonderful ladies. They gave me a tip. They tried to feed me. Lord Jesus, I didn't want none of it. And I didn't eat none of it neither. I mean, it's got a herb on it. It'll make a dog run off. I said, I'm just full to the brim. And I didn't lie. I was full. But there's real polite. And when we got close to that man-made Hindu temple, they started singing. They started raising their voice like God had got in the bus. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, that's darkness. That has no light in it. I had some folks on the bus. It was a week ago. I was in Gatlinburg and up in, I went and seen the Ark up in Williamstown, Kentucky. You ought to go if you get a chance to go. Get to church and get a tour together, and I'll show you how to get on the tour. Go on the charter bus. It ain't that expensive either, by the way. And you'd be glad you went. But the fact being, I carried some folks. You know the people that don't have the piano in the church? Y'all got it? Yeah. It ain't them old Baptists neither. We had communion on the bus Sunday morning. Sure did. They have little cups that's already prefab because, see, they have to do the sacrament. They have to do the Lord's Supper. It had on the itinerary, it was Devo. It's going to have Devo on Sunday morning. Well, only Devo that I know anything about, it has to do with machinery. I reckon. I never done one of them, but I used to have Devo. You could record stuff at the house, you know, on your cable. But I said, Miss Becky, what is Devo? She said, devotion. I said, oh, that's a new word for me, devotion. And I said, what are y'all going to do? She said, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. You know why they take it? It's mandatory. It's darkness. And it was ladies that took care of it. It wasn't men. You know, that's whatever. She said, you have trouble women praying? I said, no, I wish more women would pray. And listen to me, folk. I feel sorry for anybody, and I mean it from my heart. I went to the little devotion on Saturday night. They went into a room in a hotel, and they just sung and sung and sung. And I mean, some songs was beautiful, some songs I could have done without, but it was beautiful. And I thought, they're doing their best. The best they know to do, the way they've been trained. But the Holy Spirit was absent from their devo. Oh, I may be out in the woods, and I may not be up to etiquette, see, with everybody else, but I sure am glad I know the good Spirit of God. I know when he comes by, I know 1 Timothy 2:8, I would that all men lift up their holy hands everywhere. I'm glad every once in a while my hands get holy enough, and I can lift them to the air, and I say, Lord, hey, do you know if they just hear, hey, something dead, that's a half-mast flag, you know what, hey, something dead. Well, you got a half-mast flag. Somebody's dead. But when you stick it all the way up, and I do not see the flag at half-mast, stick her straight up and say, yes, yes. You know what that is? You can't fight with your palms up and hands in the air. Somebody take you out. God wants you to surrender. You'll be happier if you're able to do this and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me a sinner. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. You say you have not sinned. You call God a liar and you say, I have never sinned. I do not need a Savior. That's verse 8. But verse 9 said, if we confess our sins, S-I-N-S. You get that a while ago, though, you are worse. What you are is worse than what you'll ever do. Now, I used to be a legalist. I'm sure Pathways heard me in my legalist ways. Mean, rough, tough, didn't have much sympathy, didn't have any compassion toward anybody. Legalism doesn't care about anybody else. Legalism cares about their own authority. Legalism cares about their plans and their laws being carried out. It's dangerous as a cock pistol. It's just as dangerous as liberalism. The liberalism says it don't matter what you do, just as long as you do what the Bible says to do. You can do everything that Bible says to do without the presence of the Holy Ghost, you'll bust hell wide open. You can do every step of all the steps and still die without God. And that's the truth. But he said, if you confess, verse 9, if you confess your sins, S-I-N-S, he said, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, and not only forgive you, but cleanse you as though you had never sinned. Romans 5, 1, sin, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means the war is over.
Amen.
Between you and God, the war is over. You will never be at odds with God again. Well, what if you sin? Shucks, you're going to sin. Even Psalms 19 talks about, David said, forgive me my secret, not the ones I don't know about, but the ones, not the ones I don't know about, not the ones I'm hiding, but the ones I don't know about.
Right.
Matthew 12, I believe it is, it says the thought of foolishness is sin. Can you hear me? So there's none good, no, not one. If you confess your sins, that says, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have not reached the righteousness and the demand that God in His holiness demands of me to obtain to get to go to heaven. How do I get to go to heaven? I got to go through that advocate. I got to go through that, not the judge, he'll be my judge later, but I'm going through that advocate. Now this advocate, he said, for we have a propitiation between God and the world and this society. We have propitiation. Little children, he says, it says not to sin. I understand that. Romans 6, 1, Paul said, should we sin because grace abounds? Should we sin? He said, nay. But he said, did God say, it's okay to sin a little bit? Not at all. That wouldn't be the righteousness or the holiness of God. But God said, little children, these things write unto you, 1 John 2, 1, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation between us and the Father. Here it is. He's your lawyer right now.
Amen.
And not, but the thing is, have you ever heard of a lawyer that's willing to pay your price if you get called guilty or put up your time if you're sentenced? I got one that pulled my time. I've got one that's paid the price. What they sung it this morning, Miss Sue played it, and some of the girls sang it. I paid it. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt I couldn't owe, and I couldn't pay. He paid it. The fact is, he didn't owe it. I was thinking about going to the seven utterances from the cross, and the very first one from the cross is three in the light, three in the dark, three after the dark, and there's one in the middle of the darkness. You ought to look at it. The first, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's he talking about? Universal forgiveness? No, sir. He's talking about those that are crucifying him but do not know why they are crucifying him. He wasn't talking about Herod. He wasn't talking about those in charge. He wasn't talking about Pilate. He wasn't talking about the elders and the Pharisees. He was talking about those that were swinging a hammer, putting it through his hand and striping his back. He said, Father, forgive them. Now that's somebody loves you. It's not universal forgiveness. I wouldn't have got forgiveness later. So it's a fact that he forgave those that did not know what they were doing at the time. What he says was, if you sin, after you're saved, if you sin, he said, confess it. James 5, 16, it could be 17. Confess your faults one to another. Now, if you think for a flat minute I'm going to tell anybody what I've did wrong, you're wrong. That's not what it said to do. If he and I get out with each other, we get crossways for some reason, what we're supposed to do is go to each other, not with a crowd, but come to me and say, Brother Dave, I got a problem with what you said or what you did, or you made an insinuation. And I said, okay, if I'm what I'm supposed to be, I listen. And you ever said you're sorry when it wasn't your fault? You married, ain't you? You act married. If you can't say you're sorry when it ain't your fault, you won't be married long.
Amen.
You know, I got a yep out of that.
Yes, sir.
It's not the fact that If you're always right, stay away from me. That mess will kill you. Lord, have mercy. Some years ago, I figured it out. I wasn't half the preacher I thought it was. He breached that double barrel and blew both barrels out of me. And I found out how little I was and am. God's not looking, if he's looking for somebody that knows how, he'd have used Moses right out of Egypt. But he had to clean Egypt out of Moses. 40 years. Then 40 years later, which makes him 80, he said, come here, boy. He's seen a bush. Here's another rabbit if you don't know what this is. He's seen a bush. He'd seen a lot of bushes, spontaneous combustion in the desert. But the desert, did you ever heard the camel called Gracie? You ever heard that preached? Would y'all want me to preach it tonight? I would just love to preach it. But it'd take an hour and a half. Well, I'm not going to do it, but I really wished I could have done it. But he's seen many bushes, and it had to be a thorn bush, buddy. Had to be a thorn bush. Check me out. It had to be acacia. Had to be a thorn bush. But they make arrows out of thorn bushes. Go to Isaiah 59 when it says a brazen shaft. He took a thorn bush, straightened it out, and sealed it, and used it for an arrow. Only somebody knows what they're doing can do that. It was a thorn bush that he lit up. He'd seen many light up in 40 years of taking care of somebody else's sheep. But this one didn't burn up. And he looked at it. I think I'll check this out. This thing's not being consumed. It's a picture of a man in hell. It's burning, but it don't burn up. It's a picture of Israel going through tribulation. Burns, but it don't burn up. It's a picture of the church when it's been in trouble in Pergamos in the seven churches. It's a picture of the church going through hardship, not tribulation, going through hardships and persecution. But don't burn up. Don't go away. That's what that picture is. It's a picture of God in the bush. The bush is wood. Anything wood in the Word of God, sin. Boy, boy, boy. I wished I had time. Anyway, he looked at that bush and it didn't burn up. He started closing on it. God said, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. What's on bottom of your shoes coming from somewhere else, and I don't want around what you've been doing. I want what you are now. And he slid them sandals off and he put his foot in the sand. And God said, come here. I want to talk to you. He said, I need you to go back to Israel. He said, but say, you know, my, I'm not etiquette anymore. I don't even remember the Egyptian language good. I've been talking Lebanese, my Uncle Laban, you know, or whatever that dude's name is. I forgot it. Jethro. I've been talking Jethroism, and I'm married into one of the family girls. And all, he said, I can't do that. And God said, that's what I want you. I want to use you when you don't feel like you can do it. And that's what God's looking out of a preacher. That's what God's looking out of a pastor. He can't do it, but God does it through him. Samuel wasn't no bigger than some of you ladies. He didn't have big old muscles and buff chest. Delilah said, where is your strength? We can't see it. Oh, listen to me. God take little bitty stuff and do whatever he wants to with it. It's got to be broken, though. You're going to have to confess your sins after you've been born again. And if you don't think you've sinned since you've been born again, you just sinned. You just said you make God a liar, it said. Well, God don't lie, Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, whom God promised before the beginning of the world, said he can, impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18 said it's impossible for God to lie. If he told a lie, it'd come true. Right? Because he can't lie. I'm telling you, that God is saying to you as a child of God, if you ever fallen, I know how I have fallen. I have fallen. It's not the fall that you probably figure most men fall over, but I have failed. And I felt like God was finished and done. But see, God loves broken things. God loves something that it doesn't feel superior. It doesn't feel like it needs to be in that spot. I ain't even gonna talk about that. I want to tell you from the depths of my heart, the joy of serving Jesus Christ oversees and overrules anything that you'll ever experience. I seen the Biltmores. Anybody ever been to the Biltmore? No, my wife has. Anybody ever been to the Biltmore up in Asheville, North Carolina? It's the Vanderbilts built that thing back in, I think, late 1800s, I believe it is. And it's huge. It's a little bigger than my house. I noticed that just right off the bat. That's a little bigger than my house. It's a little, even the one I moved out of about 7 years ago, it's much, much bigger. About anything I've ever lived in, you could put it in that house about 12 times. Ceilings are much taller than this. It's amazing. It's not immaculate. It's an old setting. It's an old Vanderbilt. Oh boy, it must have been about 3'9". His bed don't look like anybody. A kid don't look like a kid could get on there. It's so short. But the fact is, I looked at it from outside, and it's impressive. Very impressive. Took about $10 million in that day. It'd probably take about $250 million today to build. It might even take more. The grounds is amazing. It's amazing the flowers. It's amazing the gardens. Amazing all the sculptures, the glass sculptures. It's beautiful at night. We've seen it at night and day. And the Church of Christ, I didn't mean to tell you who that was, but we went up there to see that place, and they went in awe, and I thought to myself, I am headed to a place that this right here could serve as the toilet where I'm going after a while. I mean, I'm headed to a place where there's no sin, there's no sorrow, there's no gout in the foot, there's no back problems, there's no cirrhosis of the liver, and there's not any problems in the brain, no tumors, there's I mean, God has got it set up for us, and it's just a matter if we'll just trust Him and keep going forward and staying faithful. That God says, if you will confess your sins, He said, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, and I'm going to wash you clean, and you bring it up again, I don't even know what you're talking about. You ever tried to get forgiven for something that you've already been forgiven of? You can't be done. So the devil brags it up. He's a buzzard. He drags up dead stuff to try to get you to give up straight living, to right living. A lot of folks have caved in today. A lot of folk have lost their way to the house of God. A lot of folks have said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of situations at hand. I'm tired. Well, I get tired of it too. I really do. But I haven't been pastored since July of last year. And, I mean, God bailed me out of jail. I mean, I got released from prison. That's what I did. I have, of the 42 years I've come next month, I've been preaching. 38, 39 of those have been pastoral work. Some have been wonderful. And it was. The last church was probably the best I'd ever pastored. It was had the best real pace. Said he never went over there. He said that I didn't feel the Holy Spirit of God. And I said, that's the greatest compliment that church could ever get, is the Spirit of God would come. And I'm telling you, I appreciate what the Lord let me do. Let me see. We sent a lot of good things. But it was time to go. It was time for me to leave. My time was up. Ecclesiastes 3:6 was the verse that I gave them that morning. Time to get and the time to lose. And I said, it's my time to go. My time's up. They didn't run me off. They didn't ask me to leave. It was just time for me to go. But I drive by now, and it's like I was never there. It's amazing. It is obviously amazing. A lot of money put in that building out of our pocket. A lot of time, a lot of sweat. But it's as though, because it's yonder, back yonder. And I have no regrets, but it's all back yonder. And I think, I preached around quite a bit. It slowed down here in the last month or two, but I preached quite a bit that first year, 14 months. And I've been in churches in Tennessee, down in other side of Birmingham, Cullman County, up on the mountain here, different places. Brandon's used me quite a bit over there. He just needs piano player. You don't really want nobody to preach. He just wants a piano player. And because he told me that. He said, the reason I get you play the piano. And I said, I played extremely well too, don't I? Well, he won't tell me that. But anyhow, of course, Brandon ain't right no way. He needs to get right with the Lord. But I preach over there a good bit. I'll tell him if I want him to know it. You don't have to tell him. I'll tell him if I want him to know it. All I know is, I haven't seen a church yet, including the one I preached at this morning, that I want to pastor. I preached at Victory quite a few times where I'm a member of. It's great people. Some of the finest things you'll ever hear in your life. But I don't want to pastor the church. I preached at James Ledwell. I don't want to pastor James's church. I've preached down in Cullman, preached down in Birmingham a few times in the last year and a half. I'm not interested in that. Not looking for it. I ain't saying I won't. I'll be glad to go. I'll pastor 20 people in a wheelchair if that's what he wants. I mean that. I'll do everything like you always do. I mean, I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do. I'll be glad. I'll be glad. I'll be glad to preach to 20 people in a wheelchair if that's what he wants. Can y'all hear me? I want in God's will. As far as I know, I'm in God's will. As far as I know. And it's not the size of the crowd. No, you can get up to about 15,000 in John 6, that bread chapter. You get up about 15, 20,000, and before you know it, you've got 12. One of them's a stinking devil. Where'd they all go? Commitment. Commitment. Why do you get to go to heaven? It's because of the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the reason you're going. Let me touch this, and I quit. I set my watch to go off in 35 minutes, and I'm going to quit. Y'all can't believe that, can you? I was preaching down in a camp meeting last January, the Jubilee, and I set my clock to go off in 35 minutes. And I done got in it. I mean, I was in filth gear running downhill. I'm filth gear as you're running well and ain't burning no gas much, right? And I mean, it was on, and I heard you going, blue, 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 blue. And I thought, well, Moses, somebody needs to answer the stinking phone. You know, it was kind of bringing me down. And blue, 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 it'll go off the minute you'll hear. And I said, why don't somebody answer the phone? The preacher said, I believe it's yours, Brother Dave. I wonder if I got that phone and putzed around. And I said, don't you worry about it. I had 30 minutes. I put 30 more on. Don't you worry about it, all right? But see, it's real easy to put an hour on that 30. You have to watch. It'll roll an hour. Amen. Well, I just preach the thing goes off. That's what I would do. I'm just telling you that. I mean, I've had great days in my life. I've had great days. I have had a good life. I have nothing to be complaining about, and I'm not complaining. I'm so glad to be out of legalism. I'm so happy that you haven't got to wear the clothes I wear. I have to be white and long sleeve. I had a colored shirt on this morning. I don't have a choice. She tells me what to wear. I put it on. Cheaper than a divorce. And so I wear it. So the fact that I sneaked out this morning with these bright blue socks on. She know I got them blue socks. I'm trying to, this pathway. You don't bring them things I wear around here. All I know is she got me some of these high, light up neons, you know. You pull your britches up and knock somebody out. And I thought, I ain't wearing that down there this morning. But see, she didn't ask me what I had on, or I'd have to go change socks. Amen. I mean, I know my limitations. Man, these know his limitations. And I know my, but let me give you this. In the book, if you ain't got nothing, get this. In the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 8, she said, Naomi said to Orpah and what's her name, Ruth? She told them, said, go back to your parents and back to your husbands, which they didn't have, and go back into rest with your husbands. That's home rest. If God is not in control of husband and wife, you haven't got home rest. Trust me. If you got to walk in the building, stretch your muscle every time you walk in home and say, I'm here to take over, you're in trouble. I'd much rather live lonely than live miserable. Amen. I don't like divorce any more than you do or have done it, but I don't know a family that ain't been hit by divorce. I don't know one. I don't know a whole lot of families that ain't been hit by perversion called homosexuality, by the way. It's amazing that the folk that you bump into, that they'll tell you, my boy, my girl. A preacher texted me not too long ago and said, Dave, that so-and-so is getting married. I said, well, he said, yeah, but she and her are getting married at their daddy's church. I said, she and him? He said, no, she and her. And these people are godly folk. These people, that she's got a godly mother, sang the horns off of Billy Goat. She plays well, plays pretty, sings even better. I mean, this girl's godly. The grandpa's godly. But this girl swaps off a man and goes to another woman. There's a lot of people going through that right now. I would encourage nobody to pick on a homosexual and call them the Q words and call them this, that, and the other words, because you ain't never going to help them if you try to put them down. They know what they are anyway. You know, I'd call a girl that gives herself away or sells herself a tramp or this and that, the W word. You don't have to call her that. She knows what she is. Preach her the gospel. Tell her the truth. Well, home life, that's he said. She said, go back and rest in your home with your husbands. They had no husband. But see, home should be a place of rest. Then you go to Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, and it says, come unto me, all you that labor laden and labor, and I will give you rest. That's one Greek word that I don't remember how to pronounce the Greek word. That word rest is one word, particular word. Then you go to verse 29, 11, 28, then 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I meek and lowly, and you shall find rest. It's a different Greek word. You'll find rest for your souls. What's the difference in the rest? I'm glad you asked me. I've checked this out about a year ago. 28, rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. It means you just got saved.
Amen.
It means you have just passed from death unto life. That word rest right there means rest once and for all. That's what it is. That's what salvation is, Brother Perry. Once and done. One and done. You get right with God, you can't get any other way. Now, I know you can get like the prodigal in Luke 15. You can go against him, but the fact is, that Luke 15 daddy, I was either in the tower looking over the land and waiting for his boy. Somebody said, "Man, I smell swine." And the daddy said, "No, I ain't swine. That's my boy. That's my son." And he ran to him and robed him with his self, kissed him on either side. That's what Judas did. Kept kissing on both sides. Hugged him. Thank God. That's what God will do for you when you get in the pig pen. He dropped the pail, jumped the rail, hit the trail, and went back to daddy's house. And he said, "I've sinned against you. I'm not fit to be here." And they still put that ring of authority on his hand. They still put that piece of shoe on his foot. And a robe. They didn't clean him up. They robed him up. Hey, amen. That's why I get to go to heaven.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. I quit picking on folks because they did this and that and this. Whew. My, my, my. Matthew 11, 28 is, 28 is rest once and for all. It's all, it's done. There'll never be any other thing. But then verse 29 said, "Take my yoke upon you." 28, salvation. 29 is service. 28 is deliverance. 29, Matthew 11, 28, is discipleship. That word rest, if you just go check me out, get you a little Greek concordance, you can do as good as anybody else. It means take a 15-minute break. That's what it means. You still work the bank, sis? They caught you, didn't they? Yeah. I think I heard about it. Sure am sorry about that. I really am. Ball cap, pen and pencil, cigarettes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Y'all don't want to hear me come back no more. You sin. You got peace in 28. You saved. Ain't serving good, and you get cumbered and burdened, and all he said was bring your burdens to me. You all you labored, heavy laden, that's loaded down, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. You get your 15-minute break. That word rest is eternal in 28 29. It's temporary. Life's tough, ain't it? I have bad news. It's going to get tougher. I said 30 years ago, pastoring First Church in Flintville, Tennessee, I said thus and thus and thus, and I'm not a prophet, and I ain't a prophet, but I could tell the way it was going. I said, 30 years, some of y'all won't even be in this church. And they ain't. I was at Oak Grove in 1994. Brother Arville passed away, and they put me in 97, around January, November or December, January. Whenever, it's in 97, 98. And I said, "You put 10 years on this church," and at one time Oak Grove was running around 150 people. And it was God doing that. I didn't do it. I left Flintville, Tennessee with, that's somebody besides me there. That's not me there. I left Tennessee with 200 people sitting in the pews. Time to go. Left Oak Grove with 150. Well, it was about 100 and a quarter when I walked out. Left. It's time for me to go. The deacons asked me, what could we do for you to stay? And I wanted to tell them, if y'all all resign, I'll stay. But I knew they wasn't going to do that. So I wasn't going to cause trouble. No, it really wasn't them. And I thought, why are you doing this? I was so laden. My wife, God told me on the piano stool, it's time to go. on Sunday morning. She was on the altar. I was the only one who played the piano. I had to play my own invitation. Brother Lester would sing it. He spoke to my heart. And I got up, went to her on the altar, and I said, "Baby, we got to go." And she looked up with tears in her eyes. She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Will you make sure?" I said, "Yeah." So that night I waited. And that night on the piano stool, he spoke to my heart. It's time to go. You see what's so ironic about it, Brother Perry, is when we went to Oak Grove, she didn't want to go to Oak Grove. It's too dry. But then that thing snapped like a rifle. And then she didn't want to leave it. But a woman has a right to change her mind. Right? You better do right. You'd be balder tomorrow than you are tonight if you don't. I didn't understand. I understand better now. And I didn't understand truly why I had to leave when I left the last church. I didn't understand. But I knew it's what I was told to do. Today I understand better. Today I understand much, much better. What do you do? Nothing. What do you do? What do you fix? What do you change? Nothing. I went to him and I said, "Help me get that 15-minute rest." He did. Gave me that little 15-minute. It's like you taking a break, that rest in 29. It's like you took a break. You've been working hard and you took a break. And it'll refresh you. Get a drink. Get some coffee if it's hot weather or cold weather. Get a cool drink if it's real hot. And get in air conditioned, get in the truck. I was a plumber for years. We'd get under them floor, and boy, the wind wouldn't move under there. You'd walk out, and just clothes drip in the water. You get in the truck and get that air on. You could get a little refreshing. It'd help you make another hour or so. That's what 29 is. You're in a battle all the time. Every once in a while, he's got to pull you out of the battle. It keeps coming up, and I'm done. I'm going to beat that 35 minutes, I believe. Keeps coming up. It popped up a while ago, and I thought, well, I don't want to get into that. But now it popped up again. I'm preaching revival. I used to preach quite a bit in Columbia, Tennessee, around Spring Hill, Tennessee. I preached a funeral for a girl who got shot with a deer rifle, and one of the redheads, whatever the name, yeah, Winona, and it was the girl, was at the funeral. I didn't even see her. Preached the funeral, didn't even see that big redhead sitting there. Didn't pay attention. But see, a lot of those stars, I don't know about now, Billy Ray Cyrus lived back in those woods around that church, and she lived in that, bought farms in there. And some of the people in the church that hadn't been in the videos, Billy Ray Cyrus, if you like him. I never did give a rip about him, to be quite honest with you. But I don't like country music anyway. Yeah, you get a good Holy Ghost, go out there, "Hey, stand by your man." You know, it'll knock it right off of you. It ain't "stand by your man." No way, "stand by your man." He had about six or seven. But the fact, if you don't like her, I'm sorry. The gal just didn't do right. It's just, I went up there and I preached quite a few meetings. And it was about 1983 is when it all started. And I guess for 10 years or better, about every summer, every spring, or every other, I'm back up in there in at least three churches that I was preaching revival up there. Well, they happened to be at the one that that pulled me up there in revival. And I'd seen a little tow-headed, blunt-headed girl the few years earlier. And then one day, that little tow-head, blunt-headed girl grew up. And her and a boy, they was probably 18, 19. I'd say it wouldn't be any more probably than 19. And I seen both of them pull down over here on this. That altar was, that stage was pretty narrow. It, about right here, it cut off. And you had steps over here. And they came into that side over there. There was about, 150 people there. It was pretty well packed out. A lot of Nazarenes, a lot of Methodists. It was a Baptist church. Like they come out of them hills and just jam them churches. And I looked over and he did. He motioned for me to come over. And I went over there. They're still singing. It was folk praying. And I got out on the floor, just laid flat on the floor. And I said, what could I do? What do you want me to do? And she looked at me with eyes just full of tears streaming down her cheeks. She said, "Brother David, we're about to have a baby. I'm pregnant, and we're not married." I said, "Does your parents know?" She said, "No, sir." I said, "Does your parents?" He said, "No, sir. They don't know." I didn't know what to say. It's wrong. It's sin.
I don't care who's doing it. I don't care who's living with who. Out of wedlock. It's sin. Go try to sell your car, Brother Perry. If you ain't got a entitlement of entitlement to own it, you ain't going to sell it. Right? You sell your home. You're going to have to have a deed. The bank may have it, but it's got your name. It's your home. Without it, you can't sell it. You're living with someone and no piece of paper that says, I belong to her, she belongs to me. It's going to be a little hard to get you Social Security when you get older, I promise you. A lot of things will be difficult, especially since God knows that you're living in sin. It's going on today. Hollywood says it's fine. I read something on the net today. I don't know who it was. If I did, I wouldn't even call their name. But they got married about 6 months. She's 3 months pregnant. And there's nothing to it. Everything is fine. It ain't fine, y'all. That book stands against that trash. He certainly does. A lot of people have gotten involved in it. I understand that. But it don't mean you can't come out of it. Don't mean you can't get clean back up. The pearl, when it gets scratched, you don't buff it off like a diamond. You peel it. But it won't never be as big as it used to be. You'll have to put it in a smaller amount, but it'll be just as perfect a pearl. It just ain't, you peel it like an onion's what I've been told. Well, I hesitated just for a minute, and I made them both look at me in the eyes, and especially her. Now, I wasn't married at the time, and I didn't have a child at the time. I looked at her in the eye, and I said, I want to tell you something. I said, if you were my little girl, I would still love you no matter what. Now, I said, you know you're wrong, because they were getting penitence, and they acknowledged to me. They weren't trying to get penitence through me, but they needed to tell it, and they told me. I said, I would still love you, even though you're my little girl and you did wrong. And I said, you're bringing shame to your family. Because it used to be wrong to do that, y'all know. It ain't all that bad wrong no more. That is right, ain't it? Yeah. I said, I'd still love you. And I said, now, you get your parents and you tell your parents and you let them know. And they did. I was back up there 2 years later, prettiest little thing you ever seen in your life, and they had gotten married. And the last time she and I was up there, that baby's about grown, those two are still together. God wiggled them and wormed them and wrapped clay together and made one. Well, little did I know, Elaine's on the way. And a little did I know that there's a little 8-year-old girl coming into my life. Little brown-eyed, brunette, that didn't like me worth a hoot. Not a hoot. She wrote on her bedroom wall, I hate David Beck. That's right, ain't baby? Now, she didn't tell me to my face, but Lane says, she's going to be tough. I said, she'll fold. Now, I didn't do anything extra. I didn't go out of my way to give her anything. I didn't try to hug her. I didn't pay her much attention. And eventually she started easing in. It wasn't long. That little brown-eyed was in my lap asking me thus, thus, and thus. And I won her over. Her daddy was killed. Her daddy was killed. And my kid is about 36 now, imagine, 37. And she hadn't always done everything correct. Not always. Not always. And every time I run into a situation, I remember the little blonde-headed girl that I said, no matter what you've just done, I still love you. You want to try to beat the wax out of them, but you ain't going to beat them into it. What you got to do is remember that their mom and daddies are sinners, and you've got a kid that's a sinner too. But if she was to go to prison in Oklahoma, wind up in Leavenworth, Kansas, I'd go to Kansas, see my little girl. They've asked her who her daddy is. But there he is. She calls me Dee Dee. It stood for Daddy Dave. Sometimes Dumb Dave, Ding Dong Dave. You know, a lot of things it can stand for. But she called me Dee Dee, and still does to this day call me Dee Dee. And I'd fight a circle saw for her. I went to prayer and asked God to overrule her. If she's about to make a mistake, and she's made a lot. I went to God and I said, stop her. If you don't rule, you know the rule. You see, what I told her hasn't came true in every phase that girl did, but in a lot, I've had to remind myself. These times I could bite a nail in half, I just couldn't believe what had taken place. And I said, Lord, I really do still love her. And I do to this day. I'll love her till I die. Do you know boys don't ever ask you for nothing, but a girl will beat you to death. Boys don't ever ask you for nothing. Boys just do it. Girls, did you come over here and twist that light bulb for me? Well, sure. Dee Dee, will you put my tag on my car? I mean, that's work, friend. That's two screws. She just bought her a new car. Dee Dee, will you put... Yeah, I put it. Will you check my tires? Will you put air in them? Well, sure. A boy will never ask you to do that. But a girl? Why? I'm glad she wants me to do it. That your joy... Man, I may have set that on an hour and 35 minutes. It seems like I've been up a long time. That your joy may be full. Can I ask you something? And I'm done. I'm obviously done. May I ask you something? When's the last time that you got to a place? I didn't turn it on. That's the reason. I don't even know what time I got up, so I'm sorry. When's the last time? I'm finished. I promise I am. When's the last time that he got so close to you that it almost smothered you? I've had him do that. It's ambush is what I call it. Just get in the car with you, just ambush you, just grab you. And it ain't because you're good. It's because he loves you. Now, everything we did today has centered around one person. It hasn't centered around me. It hasn't centered around a particular family. It has centered around one person in this book. And I want to remind you again, whatever situation you're in, see if you can find a canary in a cage that won't sing. They don't make them. They'll sing. Don't lose your song. Don't lose your smile and your joy. The devil will take it. He's a thief. He'll take it from you. Walk with him. Fellowship with him, confess your faults to him. And I promise you, you've got an advocate, a propitiator, that will take your... See, he tells his father, said, now they're guilty. They're guilty. But I'll take the stripes. He's guilty. I'm not... You know, they try to say, oh, technically he's not guilty because thus, the police didn't do this and this. No, this lawyer says, no, he's guilty. We're throwing him on the mercies of the court. But you see, Father, when he throws his hands out, the Father says, oh, he ain't guilty. There is the payment for our sin. How can you stray so long? I understand straying. I know what it is. But how can you stray so long from the closeness of God and it not get you to the place? I don't want to go any further. I want to be right with heaven. I want to be right with God. That your joy may be full. Are you getting that? That's the reason he wrote 1 John chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 2 John, 3 John. That your joy may be full. It's all you got that you can hold on to yourself. That's all you got. Whatever y'all want to do, brother, sing. Come on, please. Give an invitation. If you want to come pray, you just want to talk to him, not make any deals, not say